This is Sunday night, it's New Year's Eve, and that's all I'm doing. I'm doing two paragraphs. If you're listening, they're giving me crap because I said I wasn't going to talk too long, and they don't believe that, but it's a small crowd tonight, it's New Year's Eve, somebody had a 30-day birthday, and they said how they decided to quit drinking, the question is that really possible? I can't really decide to quit drinking. I guess I could, but I couldn't follow through on it. I think when we quit, at least for me, we were surrendered. I was completely defeated by alcohol, and I had no choice but to go on, the way they say, to an alcoholic death or to seek spiritual help. I was able to see the truth of my life at that moment. I couldn't deny it. And so I was surrendered. I didn't say, I'm going to give up today. I was defeated. See, alcohol defeated me. My self-will defeated me. And so I chose to ask God for help. And so I'm here today. So it's worked for me. I want it to work today. I wrote a thing on the thoughts for recovery. Do I have the power to choose not to drink? And a lot of people say, well, I'm going to choose not to drink today, right? But the thing is, I never have the choice not to drink. My willpower won't work, remember? What I choose is to seek the power that gives me the choice. I get the choice to not drink today by God. God will show me that it's a bad idea, right? And so I have to seek God, and then I'll have the choice. But on my own, I'll never have power. It's semantics, but it's important for me to know that. That's why I asked God for help as soon as I woke up this morning. So, anybody think that makes sense? Well, I'm only going to read a few paragraphs anyway. Gary was giving me a hard time, but I was just going to read on page 70 the last two paragraphs about step four and make a few comments. We have a few new people here going to get ready to do step four. And these are really the results of step four, why we do it. If there's no result, then why do the steps? Now, Clancy said the steps are important. The steps are important because it's the only way, by doing the steps, that I can destroy my self-centeredness. And my problem is my selfishness, my self-centeredness. And the spiritual exercises of the steps help me break that down and get centered on God. And the fourth step is the beginning, where I look at a life run on self-will. That's what we look at in step four. We want to look and see what our life was like before we came here when we were running the show. And we want to see the manifestations of a life run on self and see the truth about it so we can face and be rid of the things that are blocking me from God. And I have to see the truth about my thinking before I came in here to realize it was wrong so I can change it. And then step four is just the beginning, where we use that every day in step 10 and 11. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this is the results and how it relates to me every day. It says, if I've been thorough about my personal inventory, I've written down a lot. So in step four, we're doing a personal inventory. We're not going to weigh ourselves and do our height and weight and our blood pressure. We're inventorying our personality. And the personality is an individual's behavior and emotions. I looked it up. What was my behavior? What was my emotions? So we're going to look at our conduct and we're going to look at our emotions. And it says we've written down a lot, so it's a written inventory. And it says I've listed and analyzed my resentments. Now what we look at in our personal inventory is the three manifestations of a life of self-centeredness. There are three things that we see. We see resentment. We're all angry. Anybody angry when they come in here? And we're full of fear, and we've harmed a lot of people. So when I'm living my life centered on me and what I need to satisfy my instincts of life, I'm going to be angry, fearful, and I'm going to harm people. I'm going to make conduct out of that. Anybody agree with that? And it's not pretty. And if we don't see it, we won't know what we need to change. People come in here and for a variety of reasons, and they think their problem's alcohol. Alcohol was the solution to living a life run on self-will where I was angry, afraid, and harmed people all day long. Did it work? It might have worked in the beginning, but it stops working, right? And what did I analyze in my resentment? Analyze means to discover or reveal the truth. So think about, does anybody have resentment? Anybody have any anger today or in their life? Anybody ever get angry? Of course. And what I realized when I did my inventory was that my resentments were wrong judgment. I would look at something or somebody and I would say wrong. I had to decide that their behavior, their actions, or whatever they did was wrong. And I believed that it was true. Hey, Jimmy. And so we look at that, and I wrote down everything that I thought, everybody who I thought was wrong or anybody who bothered me. And those are our resentments, right? And you can limit them, but I had several hundred. A lot of them were trivial, but they were people who bothered me and who I had judged, and some were deep resentments. And I didn't know they were wrong when I came in here. So the second column was the cause. What did they do? And I could write that down. And the third was what was threatening. I didn't have any idea about this when I came in here. But when I'm running my life, run on self-will, I'm threatened a lot. So I get angry. If you do or say or see something, it may threaten my self-esteem or my pride. It may threaten my material ambitions, my sexy ambitions, my companionship, my emotional, and I get upset. And a lot of times I'll judge somebody because I'll think that they think they're better than me and they haven't said anything. Or I'll judge somebody because they look better than me. And I think everybody looks at them and thinks they look better than me. And so then I bear to them because they look better than me, but nobody said anything. Does that make any sense at all? Anybody relate to that? And so we're constantly in this state of disarray, and it was God-centered, and I had a lot of resentment. And then the most valuable thing I learned in the fourth step, and most people never learn this, but it's in the book. That's why I insist on doing the steps by the book when I work with somebody, and I did them. If you do the first three columns, it says this is what you learn. You look at it carefully, and you learn this, that your anger was futile. It was a waste of time. Being angry at somebody else, and we're talking in general about the fourth step. And the resentments, that when we have resentment, we're angry, and we're hoping that I'll take poison and they'll die. And I'll be sitting and upset at somebody, and they don't even know what's going on. And it's a waste of time. It was a waste of time to be angry. Now, I also learned that if I live a life run on resentment, it's going to kill me. And I don't want to die, right? And it says they have to be mastered. We have to learn to master our anger. Does anybody agree with that? And so we're going to learn a tool now that I've gone over 18 trillion times and I use all the time. And it says if we want to be free of anger, we have to look at it from a different way, right? It says they need to be mastered, and how do we do it? In the bottom of page 66 to 67, you can pull it out, but I'll review it. I've kind of got it memorized. It says we have to look at it from a different angle. And so this list of three columns of people, it says, is the whole key to my future. I don't have any future without the list, and the key to it is to be able to look at these anger and this resentment from a different angle. And the angle is this: that these people who perhaps wronged me, real or imagined, it says, were perhaps spiritually ill. Perhaps they were sick like me. And so the first thing I do is when I look at, anytime I'm angry, is that people, I call them human beings. They're all human beings, they have their personality, they have their self-will, they are the way they are. Now some are really mean and evil, but that's just who they are. And I was sick too, so I have to say, they're sick like me, and I don't want to judge them anymore. That's a change in the way I saw them. Did anybody come in here have some real good resentments? Real good ones, right? These people were bad. They should need to be killed. Go to enough meetings and the new people are spend 30 minutes discussing the ex-husband and how they should be murdered, or the ex-wife and this and that. And if you're listening to them, you say, yeah, I'll get you the gun, you know? But it's not even true. It's just the way we see them. So we have to look at it from a different angle, and then it says you do four things. I'm going to ask God, because I can't change him myself, and I do this. I say, God, give me love, patience, and tolerance for this person, like if they were a sick friend. So I'm if angry at Jimmy, I don't like Jimmy. For some reason, today he's pissing me off. I say, Jimmy's just Jimmy. How can I have love, patience, and tolerance for Jimmy? Why? If I have love, patience, and tolerance for Jimmy, I can't hate him. I can't plot somebody's execution and love them. And I don't want to do any, I don't want to have negative feelings anymore. Why? Because they separate me from my creator, right, Gary? They separate me from God, and that's not the person God created. God created a person of love, patience, kind, and tolerance, and I created this other person. And I don't have to be that way. I don't have to see it. I don't have to have resentment have power over me. See, when you're angry, your anger has power over you. And it has the power to kill, the big book says, because we're separated from God. And then we'll act on the anger. Anybody do that? Do some bad things. We don't want to do that anymore. So I say, God, give me love, patience, and tolerance as I would for a sick friend. Then I say, God, how can I be helpful to this person? Well, that's a whole change in attitude, isn't it? How can I be helpful to this person? And then here's the key. God, save me from being angry. Now, you heard a lot of meetings, you're supposed to pray for the other person. Anybody hear that? It's not in the big book. It's not in page 6667. That somebody wrote that in 1975 in a story, and people believe that that's what you should do. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but you can do that after you do these four things. I have to say, God, save me from being angry. Notice the words. It says, save me. I need to be saved from my anger. It's going to kill me, and only God can save me. Save me from my anger. So whenever I get upset about anything, it'd be trivial. Could be my wife today. She's upset about something. I said, God, save me from being angry. Patty's just Patty. Oh, don't listen to this, honey. Patty's just Patty, and that's just the way it is. Now, actually, she upsets me very little. I upset her a lot, but we won't get into that. That's a next meeting. But the thing is, I'm just joking, but we are who we are. God save me from my anger. It can be trivial or it could be something really bad. And no matter what it is, anger is never justified. I didn't believe that. Sure, it's justified. Look what they did. It's never justified. I cannot be angry ever. Now, I can judge somebody's behavior as unexcusable. They may have shot a relative. That's horrible, but I can't be resentful at them. I have to forgive them. So these things is the way we start forgiving us. Give me love, tolerance, and patience. How can I be helpful? God, save me from being angry. I have to forgive everybody, everything. It's never excusable for me to be angry. There's no justified anger. But I don't have to excuse people's behavior, but I want to forgive them. Why? Because it says in the Bible, and we say it every meeting, I can't be forgiven until I forgive them. And I've been studying the scriptures, and it's very clear. Forgive them if you want to be forgiven. If you haven't forgiven somebody, you're judging them. So I hear, well, what about a young woman is abused as an 8-year-old child? It's a horrible thing. Right? It's a horrible thing. Nobody thinks it's good. Now, we have to excuse the behavior. Well, how? Well, the person did it was sick. Normal people don't do that. And then why is the person wrong who was harmed to be angry? Because we have to forgive. Now, if you had something happen when you're 8 years old and at 40 you're still angry about it, what was the wrong you did? You're angry. You stayed angry for 32 years. That was a choice you made. It was a bad event. We're not justifying it, but you don't have to stay angry. That's a choice. It's a choice to stay angry. I had somebody did something terrible to me, and I was angry for years, and I realized that there was no justification. What was my role in it? I stayed angry. I didn't have to. It's a choice. Anger is a choice. Now, I don't have to excuse them, but I have to forgive them. They're human beings. Now, the other thing that I learned from that is that I was probably on some people's resentment list. Think about it. What a shock. I probably did some bad things and harmed people. And I want to be forgiven, right? And I need to forgive them. Does this make any sense? And then the fourth thing it says, God, give me a kindly and tolerant view of everybody. And so we say our Father at every meeting. That means we're all God's kids, and we all have self-will, and we've all done horrible things. So somebody says, well, what about Hitler? Hitler killed a lot of my relatives. How do we forgive Hitler? I can forgive Hitler. I don't excuse him. He was a sick man. A normal person wouldn't do that, would they? And so we see self-will throughout all of our affairs and all of history. But the only thing that's going to kill me is if I stay angry. And what you want to do is you want to take this anger and you want to put it in a positive way. You want to change it, how you can change the way you see things and be of useful to God and others. I can't serve God and others if I'm angry. So page 66 and 67, I use it every day. And I'm free of the anger of my resentments. And I don't think there's anybody today that I'm still haven't forgiven or haven't made peace with. The way I look at it, I put them in a position of neutrality. They don't have power over me. I may not like them or approve of them, but they don't have power over me in my mind. And that's a great gift. I'm the only person that can hold on to the resentment and be angry. I'm the only person that can judge. God forgives all of us. So those two pages have helped. And then it says on here, we commence to see their terrible destructiveness. We have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill towards all men, even our enemies, for we look on them as sick people, you see? And so if you don't do the step four inventory, you don't learn how to have love, patience, and tolerance towards everybody. You don't learn how to forgive, and you don't learn how your anger is killing you. And so that's why I think a lot of people don't stay sober. They don't do the four step. They don't look at their anger. They don't follow through. Then I have to do it every day. It says in step 10, I watch for resentment, right, Jimmy? And when these start to crop up, I ask God at once to remove them. I don't want to be angry or resentful. It's blocking me from God. It says, we have listed the people we have hurt by our conduct and are willing to straighten out the past if we can. So the fourth column in the resentment is, what was my mistake? So my mistake is always being angry. My other mistake I made all the time was I was inconsiderate. You know what that meant? I was judging everybody. You know, everybody had something wrong with them. And I didn't see them all as God's creatures. We are who we are. And then a lot of it was self-centeredness and a lot of fear. And my fear caused a lot of my anger. I was afraid of not getting what I wanted. People are going to find out what I did, or it wasn't going to work out. And the other thing I was afraid of my whole life was not being good enough. Not being loved, not being accepted. So I get angry if I perceived you as not loving me or accepting me. Now, you may have even loved me and accepted me, but if I didn't think you did, I got angry. Now, it sounds crazy to have negative feelings for people who have never said anything to you. But as alcoholics, if you know what I'm talking about, how we would see things, we would judge, we would determine how people were seeing us. I know, it helped me. And so I'm not always right. And being right isn't good. It says we don't argue. I don't want to be right. I just want to be at peace with God and at peace with the world. And so being right won't help me. It's of absolutely no value to me. Now, the other thing I wrote here is I became willing to make amends to everybody that I was angry at. You come in here, you've got a resentment list, and you realize you have to make amends to almost all these people. That's a real turd, right? You come in, you hate them, they did this to you. And then when you do the fourth column, you realize your mistakes in it and how you may have caused this whole resentment. And so you have to be willing to make amends. And by doing that, you're not afraid of them anymore. So these people you were angry at, you might have been afraid of, you're at peace with them, you're willing to make amends. So if they walk through the door, you'll be willing to make amends. You don't hate them anymore and you're not afraid of them. It's a tremendous gift. I don't know if this is making sense to anybody, but it really is. And I've always said, if you're afraid of someone walking in that door, you're afraid of seeing somebody, you still have resentment towards them. And then you have to change the way you see them. And remember, it says we're supposed to be kind and helpful to everybody. And then I learned a lot about fear. I didn't realize it, but I was afraid my whole life. Fear was a part of my whole life all the time. I was always afraid. Why? I didn't know this, but I was relying on me, not God. And when I'm relying on me, to run the world, I'm always afraid. It said self-reliance failed me. I didn't realize that. I thought I was being a good boy, just trying to do the best I could, but I was full of fear. And it said I have to live a different way. I have to trust God, not me. Now that's hard for an alcoholic, but that's the way it is. I have to learn to trust infinite God rather than finite myself. Now what am I talking about? Anybody worry about money? Not in this room. If you're worried about money, not having enough or whatever, if you have fear of that, it's because you haven't given that area of your life to God. It doesn't say you shouldn't go to work, you shouldn't try to provide. I was talking to somebody before the meeting, they're going to try to get some work, they want some extra money. That's different than having a fear of it. You're taking positive actions with God's help. When you have fear of something, you're running the show. Anybody have relationships where you're afraid of the relationship being a certain way or the person not being that way? That's because you've decided what you needed. Your fear is whenever I'm managing an area of my life. And so I don't have to do that anymore because remember, God's the director and I'm not the director anymore. So I didn't know any of that before I came in here. And then my basic fears of, you know, approval and needing love and wanting to be seen as okay and fear of failure, I don't have to worry about it anymore. If I just am the person God created, I'll feel good about myself. So I've also learned that I build self-esteem by doing good things of service to God and others and not through what I'm getting out of everything. It's a whole different thing. You won't get perfect, but we learn to see the world differently. So the fourth step is how I see things differently. And then our conduct, we look at our sex conduct and conduct in general, and it says, were we selfish or not? We were reading tonight, did you make decisions based on self, which puts you in a position to be hurt? And it's so true. And we look at our conduct and relationships, and it tells us how we can do it, live better. We can have a sane ideal for sex in other relationships, right? And we can write it all out. So, a lot that we learned. And it says in this book, you read again and again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. So how can faith do anything? What is faith, you see? The way they use this here is faith means that you have a relationship with God. And you know that God can work in your life. Why? I've said the prayers for resentments and I'm free of anger. The fear prayer I didn't mention is I say whenever I'm afraid, I say, God, remove my fear and direct my attention to how I should be. And then my conduct, I want to change the way I do my conduct. And so when I say those prayers, they go away. So faith means dependence on God. It means that you have a relationship with God, that when you go to God, he can do for you what you could not do for yourself. And we don't want to drink again, right? And God can do that for us, right? And what else he does for us, he can remove my fear, remove my anger. It says, we hope you're now convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from him. Self-will, remove means cast out. Remember, it says at the beginning of the instructions for step four, these things in our inventory are going to be cast out, remember? We're casting out our resentment, casting out our fear, casting out our selfishness. And if my self-will is removed, then I can get God's power and direction. And remember, God gives me the choice whether to drink or not. So I have to fight being in self-will and back into God's will. It says if you already made a decision, that's step three, and an inventory of your grosser handicaps, you've made a good beginning. Now, why do they say that? You're beginning because you're going to do it the rest of your life, right? We all have negative feelings all day long. We'll get afraid of something or we'll get angry. And we have to learn to do this inventory all the time to be free of it. And it says, that being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself. And I wrote good and bad. You can see the good and the bad. See, I can see the person I created by managing my life, and that's not the person I have to be anymore. So that's why you do the fourth step. You learn this, and then I learned my wrongs were my resentment, my fear, and my conduct. But the exact nature was my character defects that are triggered by living on self-will. And our card, I don't have any extra cards, but our card shows us the left-hand side is the characteristics of self-will, selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear, intolerance, judgment, impatience, lust, envy, jealousy, self-pity. That's not good, by the way. Whenever those things arise, then I'll feel bad. And then the characteristics of God, which I can have all the time, is love, patience, tolerance, courage, trust, forgiveness. So that's the summary of the results of step four, and why I think it's just to touch the, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff, but remember they told me not to talk too long. And so next week we're going to look at the steps we took on step four by Joe. And I haven't actually gone through that before at one of these meetings, step four. We've done the other steps. It's powerful stuff. I read it today. So we'll open it up. Everybody have a good New Year. And one of the things, they talk about New Year's resolutions. So what would be a good AA resolution for the New Year is that I want to grow closer to God. I want to be loving, patient, kind, and tolerant. I want to try to be of more help and service to God and others, and I want to get closer to God and do His work well. I mean, that's my every daily resolution. Anyway, we'll open it up. Thanks for coming.